All right, Mark chapter 9. We're going to read down to verse 14, from verse 14 down to verse 29. This is a super familiar portion of Scripture that we're going to talk about. And it's going to be about something that you really don't want to hear about this time of year. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about here in just a minute. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. We're going to read down to verse 29. And then we will go on with the message. So Mark chapter 9, verse 14. The Bible says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. Or verse 22. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, He is dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Riveting commentary, by the way, on verse 27. He is dead. You'd think they'd have more to say. Anyway, verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto him, and he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. I'll read that last verse one more time. And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Which lends to the title of today's sermon, which is this, You Forgot Something. You Forgot Something. That is the title of today's sermon. We'll pray. We'll get right into it. Lord, we thank you for what you've blessed us with here, Father. As I look at just the trappings alone, we have beautiful decorations, we have beautiful people here, we have heat, light, an ornate pulpit. Father, everything here is just, you know, in terms of that is just great. Father, but Lord, more than that, I sense a really sweet spirit here. Lord, it feels like family here. Lord, and I'm thankful to be a part of this family. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us to receive this message. I pray that you'd help me to preach it the way that you would have me to preach. Lord, I pray that this message would go out the way it's supposed to. But more importantly, Father, I pray that it is received the way it's supposed to. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come here and preach. I thank you for this church. I love these people. Father, hearing my wife sing, Lord, my heart just overflows. You've been so gracious to me, Father, to put me here and allow me to do the things that I can do and experience the things that I can experience. Lord, help me be a help to these people. Father, it's in Christ's name that I pray, and amen. So, something that Americans don't like to do very much is fast, right? We don't like that. In fact, we hate that. We love our food here. I love my food. I'm not, you know, you could take one look at me and you know I love my food. That's just how I am. But we love our food in this country. the biggest killer of Americans is heart disease. Well, where does that come from? It comes from just basically a lack of physical discipline, mostly. People have different heart defects, and I understand that, and I'm sensitive to that. But by and large, we as a people, as Americans, we love our food. Our belly is our God, and that is a problem. Now, fasting is in vogue for a lot of different reasons. There's several different health benefits to fasting that if you're doing a health regimen, it will benefit you somewhat. I have 9 here. It boosts cognitive performance, okay? It reduces inflammation. It jumpstarts your immune system. It cleanses and rests the digestive system. It'll stabilize your blood sugar. It'll lower your weight. We get that. You're not eating. Now, it sounds the same, but it's not. It increases your fat loss efficiency. It causes cell cleansing, and as odd as it sounds, it causes cell death, which that sounds like a bad thing, but that is what's supposed to happen, because when you fast, your cells, when you fast after a period of about 24 hours, the cells in your body start to cleanse themselves of impurities. And the cells that you have that are on their way out, but they're hanging around, what ends up happening is that they die off immediately like they should. If they don't die off immediately like they should, they leak those toxins into your body, and that's what creates the inflammation. So there is a good benefit to fasting for your cells as well. And then for the diabetic, it increases insulin sensitivity. And for a diabetic, that is gold. You want that insulin sensitivity. So we have right there, we have 9 physical benefits of why fasting helps us. And these and others are reason why fasting has become popular weight loss as a tool for people. But here's the thing, friends. While fasting certainly has its health benefits, intermittent fasting and such, that's the one that's in vogue now. Everyone's doing the intermittent fasting. The Christians should view these as icing on the cake, not the anchor of fasting. That's not why we fast. That is not why Christians fast. While numbers of people fasting for health reasons seems to be rising, numbers of people fasting for spiritual reasons seems to be going down the tubes. We seem to be missing the point. We're just missing it. And you know, there's all kinds of different spiritual reasons to fast. I have 7 here. Spiritual reasons to fast would be something more like this. Maybe not for your body, but for your soul, for your spirit. Number one, it's to prepare for ministry. We see in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus fasts for 40 days, which I will pause there and say, you can go 40 days without food. You won't feel good. You won't look good. I know a guy who did it, and he lost his hair afterwards. He was in his 20s. He fasted for 40 days. He lost his hair. Sorry. But he's alive today. There are people on this earth that I can introduce you to who have done that. But Jesus, you know, he went into the woods to fast for 40 days. Well, that was preparation for ministry. Number two, to seek God's wisdom. We see that in Acts chapter 14, verse 23 with Paul. Number three, we see to show grief in Nehemiah. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we see that he prays and fasts to show grief. Number 4, we see to seek protection or deliverance. We see that in the book of Ezra. Number 5, we see you use this to repent. You show repentance by fasting. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, we see this. Number 6, and this is more where we're going today, to gain victory. Judges chapter 20, verse 26. And then 7, to worship God. And we see Anna in Luke chapter 2, fasting, worshiping God. So we see there's a lot of spiritual reasons that are completely independent of the physical ones that give us reason to fast. But here's the thing, friends. Many of us want God to do something in our lives. But we forget something. We forget the prayer and we forget the fasting, which is the prescribed method for God to work in our lives. That is the thing that's going to unlock His will for us, the prayer and the fasting. Now, as I go through this sermon, I don't want to be confused about what I think God is and isn't. I do not think that God is a spiritual bellboy, that if I choose to fast, I'm grabbing onto Him and making Him do something. That is not the character of the Lord, okay? That is not what God is. What I am saying is that there are certain levels of the Christian life that you won't unlock until you decide, I'm going to fast and pray. That is what I am saying. And that's because I believe that's what the Bible is teaching here. God's power, and this is really the whole crux of the matter. God's power is allocated by faith. Okay, power isn't created. God has all of it, okay? And he allocates it based on how much faith you're willing to exhibit in him. You know, Dwight Moody, I've used this illustration before, but he was at a preacher's meeting one time, and a preacher went up to another preacher talking about him in a negative light, and he said, "You know what? I think Dwight Moody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit." And the preacher looked at him and said, no, I think that the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Dwight Moody." And that is the ticket. That's what we're talking about here. God's power is allocated by faith. But here's the thing. Power is allocated. Faith is created by you when you do certain things. And that is created in part by prayer and fasting. God's people need to fast and pray when we see needs in our life. Today we're going to examine the spiritual benefits of fasting in the hope that we can claim some of that in our own lives. Because friend, listen, look at me. I want you to have victory in your life. I don't want you to muddle through and just barely get enough spiritual medicine to eke your way to the end. That's not what I want for you. That's not what God wants for you. Is that what you want for yourselves? Sometimes in my life, I can tell you, if you look at my life, you would look at my life and you'd think that that's what I want for myself. And sometimes if I were to look at your life, I'm sure you would say the same thing about yourself. But the Lord wants us to get to the next level of our lives. And to get to that next level, I think prayer and fasting is a big tool that gets us there. So we're going to examine the benefits of fasting using the verse that we just read. So what are some benefits of prayer and fasting? Number one. And you might not see this right away in the verse, but stay with me. Number one, fasting and prayer can build faith in others and outsiders. It will build faith in others and outsiders. Go with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.'" Now, friends, listen to this. I'm pleased that this person did the mature thing and decided to go directly to the Lord after his followers failed him. But the truth is, most people don't do that. Most people are going to go right to you, and if you have a spiritual failure, they're out. And that's just the end of the matter for them. If this person had been healed by the disciples, which, by the way, as I read this account, everything in this account, when you read it both in here and in the book of Matthew, indicates to me that Jesus had already given them everything that they needed to fix this person, and they just didn't do it because they didn't pray and fast. So Jesus had already given them everything that they needed. So there's nothing in here that says that this couldn't have happened had they wanted it to happen. Okay? So if this person had been healed by the disciples, here's what they would have seen from the disciples. They would have seen, number one, they would have seen God's power. They would have seen God's power on full display. We'll talk about that one a little bit more in the tail end of the message, but they definitely would have seen his power. Number two, based on that, they would have seen and they would have felt Christ's legitimacy. That's why he had the miracles to show that he was who he said he was. "Hey, look, I am the Christ. Look at this, I can do this." He showed us that. They would have seen his legitimacy on full display. They would have felt that legitimacy as a result of what the disciples were doing. Thirdly, they would have seen, and now get this, spiritual determination in the disciples. They would have seen spiritual determination in the disciples. What do I mean by that? Well, think about this. This person goes to the disciples. with a son who is foaming at the mouth and gnashing, and he's got a demon in him, and he's just acting all kinds of ridiculous because of this demon in him. No fault of his own, he has a demon, okay? And he goes to these disciples, and these disciples are spoken about as people who follow after Christ, who is supposed to have all of this power. And this person that took them, I can already kind of tell based on verse 24, didn't quite have the rock-solid faith that maybe you would want. Because in verse 24, he says this, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.'" So he wanted to believe that this could be done, but you know, life experience and things have shown this individual that it might not happen. So this person who has these underlying doubts goes to these disciples who are supposed to have the answers to this problem, that God has given the answers to this problem, and they fail. And they don't fail because they couldn't. They failed because they wouldn't. And that is a crucial distinction to make. So this person, they see these disciples because they wouldn't. That person failed. These disciples failed. When if they had done the right thing and they had a life that was characterized by prayer and fasting, that they had access to God's power allocated to them by faith, what would have happened? The person would have been healed. And then what would have happened? That person could look at those people and say, "You did everything you could." When before, he couldn't say that about them. He couldn't go to Jesus and talk about his disciples as though they did everything they could. Surely they didn't. If they did, the boy would have been healed before Jesus even saw it, physically speaking. They would have seen this person. They would have seen spiritual determination. They would have seen God's power. They would have seen his legitimacy. They would have seen determination. That's going to build faith in a person. And then lastly, they would have seen unity in the disciples. They would have seen unity in the disciples. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. We're going to read 18 and 19. I'm going to read you something that the disciples knew about. The Bible says this, and these are the words of Christ talking about fasting and prayer, more importantly, prayer. Entirely prayer, sorry. Verse 18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that," now get this is the part I'm after, "if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So what is that saying? Well, the completion of prayer is corporate prayer, but not just corporate prayer. Two people or more agreeing on a specific thing in a specific time, and that will ring bells in heaven. So, that is the proper method to pray. You add fasting to this, what do you have? You have a bunch of disciples who are fasting together, praying together about a specific thing that will help another person that won't benefit them. Won't that build unity? Now that unity will be on full display for these people. They're fasting together. Not that they're bragging about it, because there's all kinds of Bible that'll tell you you shouldn't brag about. You know, it says in the New Testament that the Pharisees made their faces long when they fasted, and that's not what I'm talking about. You know, I'm fasting. Look at me. Look at my belly. It's getting smaller. Look at that. I'm fat. No, no, no. That's not what we're talking about. Here's what we are talking about. We're talking about legitimate Christian people who have a definite burden about something. They fast and pray about that thing together. And as much as they can ring that bell, they are ringing that bell. And that's how you do it. And if this is happening, and this culture is taking place, that's going to develop unity between the disciples. That'll build unity in a church. And that would be on display, because if that was something that was going on, what would happen is that that boy would have been healed, and those disciples could have pointed to their fasting and prayer and their unity and their determination spiritually and the power of God to be able to say, that's why that boy was healed. And that is the power. That is the faith that we could build in other people just by prayer and fasting. That's a lot of faith to be built in an individual. You want to talk about witnessing to the lost? Create a culture in your family, in this church, of prayer and fasting together about specific things. That's going to build unity. That's going to build spiritual determination. That's going to show the legitimacy of our Lord and how seriously we take Him to the outside world. And that's going to access God's power. And that, as a result, is going to build faith in those without. So when we allocate God's power, prove Him as legitimate, exhibit determination and unity, do you know what's going to be accomplished here? The Lord is going to be pleased. Wouldn't you? You train your children to do something specific in a specific model, in a specific way, and then without prompting them, you watch them do it when they don't think you're watching. Doesn't that do your heart well? This was a prime opportunity. Jesus could sit back and see how His disciples do. They passed the test. He's a proud father, thrilled father. We've been there, haven't we, with our own kids? You watch your kid exhibit some character strength when they think you're not watching. That's a beautiful day in my house when that happens. That's a great thing. And you know what that'll do? That's going to please the Lord. Go with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 19. Mark chapter 9, verse 19. So number one, we see fasting and prayer builds faith in others. They would have seen God's power. They would have seen His legitimacy. They would have seen spiritual determination in the disciples. They would have seen disciple unity. If all those were exhibited, we would have seen God pleased. Let's read verse 19 here. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now, there's two ways that Jesus could have said this, right? Number one, it's laughing it off like it's not that big of a deal. Oh, faithless generation, how long do I have to suffer you? You know, go on, bring him over. I'll fix him up. And then the other way is he's just like a frustrated father. And I don't know which way it is. But the other way is, oh, faithless generation, how long do I have to suffer this? All right, come on, bring him here. I would lean more towards this side if I had to pick one. Could have been either one. Nonetheless, I don't think he was satisfied. I don't think the Lord was pleased in the faithlessness of His disciples. Now, let's take that statement and let's change some things about it, supposing that they had done things the way they were supposed to. Verse 19. Again, I'm changing words to this. I'm not a King James Bible changer. Don't make that twisted. I'm just doing this for the sake of an exercise. So here, listen to this. He answered him and said, O faithful generation, how long shall I be with you? You did a great job. Keep him at home. That's it. You wouldn't have had to get involved physically speaking. Fasting and prayer will please the Lord. Why? Well, it allows sweet fellowship with God. In terms of what it accomplishes, yes, it would have pleased Him there greatly to see His children doing what He has already trained them to do. But also, when we're looking at the actual act of fasting, when we look at what it does for you physically, It allows sweet fellowship with God, because here, for you individually, here's what it's going to do. Number one, it's going to give you dependence on God physically. It's going to give you dependence on God physically if you are fasting. And here's why. Because when you eat food, and if you've not fasted for extended periods, you don't, you know, you wouldn't know this feeling. But if you go several days without food, there's something you feel, and that something is weak. You don't feel strong. You don't feel super sharp. You feel weak. You can feel kind of listless. You can feel not all yourself, not quite together. Well, you know what? That strength that you're losing, you're making up for in faith, because you have to depend on God to sustain you through your day, because the food's not doing it. God's doing it. And in that dependence upon God physically, it's going to grow you spiritually. Because you see, faith substitutes strength in this situation. Fasting is dependence on God physically. Prayer is dependence on God spiritually. And fasting and prayer equals time with God. As a practical note, what I like to do, if I'm fasting over something specific, what I'll do is I will I'll use the hunger pains that go into your stomach as a cue to pray for the thing that I'm fasting about. So if I start feeling some gurgles, you know, if you know your stomach's starting to go like, hey, feed me, that's the cue. You say, okay, oh, it's prayer time. Lord, I pray about this thing that I'm fasting about, yada, 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 yada. Fasting and prayer means time with God. It'll please the Lord. It'll allow you to have sweet fellowship with God. Letter B, we see how it pleases the Lord. It allows partnership in His work. It allows partnership in His work. You know, the Lord doesn't just want you to come in here and tithe and not do anything else. That's not His desire for you. I'll give you a great illustration of this. So we are a single income family. My wife works inside the home. Notice how I said that. My wife works inside the home. She does work. I don't like when people say that they don't work. No, they work. I would not trade jobs with her for a lot. She does a lot of things in that house that I'm not very well suited for. So she works inside the home. But 100% of the income comes from the job that I do. So here's the thing, though. You know what really makes her happy? When I come home and I start doing the dishes. You know why that makes her happy? Because then I'm not just a provider, then I'm a partner in the work. Well, you say that's a small thing. Number one, no, it's not. I mean, you do dishes, you know how much that's, how terrible that is, right? But number two, it's working together on something. It's actually getting your hands in it. That's partnership. Partnership is not you writing a check and saying, okay, you take care of it. I paid for the soap, I paid for the sink, I paid for this, I paid for the dishes, you clean them. No, that is not how that works. That's not partnership. Partnership is when I get my roll my sleeves up and get in that sink and do those dishes. Which, by the way, men, you will be the man at Thanksgiving if you choose to do that. Just saying, like, people look at you like you've got a unicorn horn if you choose to do that during Thanksgiving or Christmas. I found that out. But you have to be, God wants you to be a partner in His work. He wants you to be able to get your hands dirty. He wants you to be able to jump in and do the things, because that's what's going to build faith in you and in other people. And when you don't fast and you don't pray, you forfeit that right, and He gives it to the person that will. Again, the power is not created, it's allocated. The work will get done, He's just going to use somebody else. But it allows partnership in His work. And that pleases the Lord. And then thirdly, we see here, it promotes spiritual discipline. And we've heard pastors say this before, but what ends up happening is that if you exhibit faith in one area of life, which is I'm not going to eat for a certain amount of time because of something specific, what that's going to do at the end of that fast, when you haven't died, and God has worked in that situation, and it will build your faith But not only will it build your faith, it's going to exercise spiritual discipline in other areas of your life that you weren't even thinking about. All of a sudden, getting up in the morning to do your job that you might not like that much isn't all that difficult to do. Because if I can fast for this many days, then of course I could go do my job. I love the Lord, and the Lord wants me to work. So of course, why? Because we're thinking about the Lord. Why? Because we're fasting. Why? Because we're depending on Him. We are created for God's enjoyment. Go with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We are created for God's enjoyment. Fasting and prayer pleases the Lord. Therefore, we should do it happily. We should be pleased, as I say to the Lord, Lord, I'll be willing to give up a couple of meals for this. Lord, I'll be willing to give up a couple of meals and focus in my prayer life about this. Lord, because I know that pleases You, and pleasing You is the only reason that I'm here. I bring glory to You and I please You. And if doing that, Lord, will please You, I will do it. Fasting and prayer pleases the Lord. So number one, we see fasting and prayer builds faith in others. Number two, we see fasting and prayer pleases the Lord. It allows fellowship, it allows partnership, and it promotes spiritual discipline. Thirdly and lastly, we see here that fasting and prayer, and I've already alluded to this, fasting and prayer unlocks God's power. It will unlock God's power. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. Now really, okay, stop, think about that. Fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. You see on the street somebody who's hopped up on drugs, and it takes five police officers to get them down, and they're screaming and shouting and foaming at the mouth. You look at them and you think that's an animal, and that's incurable. And that's exactly what's happening here. He's wallowing on the ground and foaming. Moving on, verse 21. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Pause. So not only is it that, he's been doing this a really long time. To the point of hopelessness. This is not going to change. This demon likes my boy and he's not leaving. Verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that they said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Fasting and prayer, simply put, unlocks God's power in situations in your life when you really got to have it. What is God's power? What will it do? Based on the text we have here, there are a couple of things that we see God's power doing. God's power renews and restores. Verses 26 and 27 read this way, and the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. So number one, we see renewal in this man. God's power was able to renew this man. The same power that the disciples could have had had they had the faith that they needed. It renewed this man. He was able to take out all the evil. Jesus looked at that thing and said, out you go, and out it went. And God's power removed that evil from this man. But here's the thing, and this is what I love about the Lord, is that the Lord doesn't leave us there. He doesn't just renew us by eliminating the evil, but number two, here we see that he restores us by filling us with life. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now imagine if that verse wasn't there. This is a sad, sad ending. What if it ended here? Insomuch that many said, he is dead. What if it ended there? What if Jesus said, get out of there, demon, and he got the demon out of there, and the guy's just laying there dead, and Jesus goes, oh, all right. That's not a fun story. No, no. Jesus doesn't leave us there either. He didn't just take out the evil and left an empty shell of a dead man there. No, no, no. He filled it with life. There was renewal and there was restoration in this power that God gives. And then number two, and we see this. Go to verses 20 and chapter 9. We'll see that God's power fixes what you can't. God's power fixes what you can't. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, a child. So if you really think about this, there have been years that have gone by that this spirit was in this boy, and you have to believe that this father did everything he could for this boy. But the funny thing is that in his adulthood, that spirit was still there. There was nothing the father could do. Nothing. So what does he do? He takes it to the Lord. Because there was something that this person had the maturity to understand, and that was that the Lord is the only person who can take those evils away. The Lord was the only person who could solve this man's problem. God fixes what we are unable, completely unqualified, and sometimes unwilling to fix. I'll give you an illustration here, and this illustration just lights me up every time I think about it because it's so amazing. It happened in our own family. I think about my wife's cousin, Jess. Jess currently lives in West Virginia, one of Kayleen's cousins, a wonderful person. She, about 10 years ago, got super wrapped up in heroin, okay? Heroin. To the point that her mom was working at a bank and there were drug dealers going after her for money, and then the drug dealers were going to her mom's place of business and threatening Jess, we're going to take your mom out if we don't get paid. Unspeakable things, and she could tell you all kinds of stories about, you know, the life she was living and why and how she was living it. She'd been to prison and all of these things, just completely manipulative, too smart for her own good, got herself in all kinds of trouble. Just a mess at that time. Just a mess. But you know what? There were a couple of aunts in her life that she had that said, you know what we're going to do about this? We're going to fast, we're going to pray for her healing and for her restoration. This is not an old woman or an older woman. She was in her early 20s at this point. And if you, my mother has been in law enforcement for the last 25 years, and I brought this up to her, and I said, hey, what's going to happen? She goes, I'll tell you what's going to happen. She's going to die, a heroin addict, because that's what they all do. 99% of them do. They relapse, and they go back. And they die as heroin addicts. That's just what, she'll end up on a slab. Happens every time. And you know what? My mom wasn't being critical. She was being honest, because that's actually what happens. But her two aunts, she had Christian aunts, and they decided, hey, you know what? We're going to fast about this. We're going to pray about this. We're going to take care of this the Bible way. And they fasted and they prayed for 3 days. You know what happened? If I could take you to her today, you know, today, if I were to take you down to West Virginia in her home, she is one of the brightest lights in those hills down there for those people. She is a Bible-reading, church-going mother of four that loves the Lord and has been completely restored. Amen. Hasn't touched the stuff in almost, what is it, 6 or 7 years? 7 years? What does that? Only the Lord can fix these problems. Your 12 steps are not going to fix these problems. Your ingenuity is not going to fix these problems. Your intellect is not going to fix these problems. You know what will fix these problems? The Lord. And leaning on Him. And accessing His power. How? Through prayer and fasting. God's power fixes what you can't. That's true in a drug addict's life, and friends, that's true in a sinner's life. And that is second by second true in your life and in my life. We're not worthy of anything. The Bible says that we are all sinners. Every single one of us condemned to die because of the sin in our life. The Bible also says that this Jesus that we've been reading about for the last 35 to 40 minutes came to this earth, lived a perfect life, was God in the flesh, died on a cross to pay for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. Why? Because He wanted to fix something in you that He knew you couldn't. And He wanted to restore you to His Father. And He wanted to show you love like you had never seen before. Amen. And all you have to do to receive that gift, friends, is you just have to take it. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that He came here and was sinless, died and rose again on the third day, and is currently sitting at the right hand of the Father. If you believe what the Bible says about that, and you follow Him, the Bible says that you're a new creature. He gives that to you freely. God has real power. We see that in our salvation testimony, don't we? You know, you look at some people, and you could think, saved people, and you could think, wow, you know, I really thought they'd be maybe a little bit farther on than what they are. And if you're honest, you've probably had those thoughts about some people. But you know what the reality is that we don't know what that person would have been if they didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. The truth is, that person would be a whole lot worse than what they are. And in addition to that, so would you. But God's power renews us and restores us. God's power is accessed, allocated, based on faith. And your faith is produced in part by prayer and by fasting. The truth is this, friends, is that there are certain levels in our lives, certain levels spiritually, that we can only unlock by prayer and by fasting. So my question to you tonight is, have you forgotten something, friends? Have you forgotten fasting in your life, in your daily walk? Have you forgotten prayer with fasting? Have you forgotten? It's time to pick it up again. It's time to pick it up again. Let's pray.